Welcome to the Hockey Writers Prospect Corner, a show with our top prospects writing crew bringing you the latest news, analysis, scouting reports, mocks, rankings, and much more. From the World Juniors to the NHL draft floor, from the farm to the NHL, our team covers everything that happens in the world of prospects. So sit back, grab a notebook, and get ready for Prospect Corner. Prospect Corner.
Welcome back into another episode of the Prospect Corner here at the Hockey Writers. I am your host, of course, Matthew Zader, and I'm joined in by my fellow prospect experts, Peter Barrichini and Greg Boysen. We're into another week of hockey, more prospects playing, lots of stuff happening, World Juniors coming up. We're just going to jump in right now to a bit of prospects news again and the Calder Trophy race, which we'll do every week if there's something substantial kind of happens. We're going to start off with, early in the season, we're getting already the 9 games in for rookies that have made NHL rosters, and they've come and played the 9 games, and the teams decided, well, they're better off playing in junior rather than taking limited minutes in the NHL unless they're like substantially really good. But a lot of the time it's better that they play in junior. So the first guy we're going to focus on is Hendrix Lapierre, Washington Capitals. Scored his first NHL goal in his first NHL game and then kind of tailed off after that. They sent him back to the QMJHL, Cady Bathurst. You know, World Juniors coming up, I just said, and he's going to probably be a prominent guy on Team Canada. Greg, what's the implications of him being sent back? And do you think it was the right decision for the Capitals to send him back to junior?
Yeah, I think that was the right move. I mean, he was kind of a surprise to make the team out of camp to begin with. And that had, I think, more to do with let's see what, give him a little look. The Capitals were dealing with some injuries, especially up front to start the season. So it was the right move. As you mentioned, he scored on opening night, but he hasn't, you know, I think he's only played more than 10 minutes once since that opening game in just 6 games. So they obviously weren't using him. So if you're not going to use him in high quality minutes, what's the point? Why burn that that first year of his contract for, you know, 8 minutes a night? Let him go back to the queue. Let him get, you know, more playing time. Let him develop and then play for the World Juniors. Obviously, I think he's going to be one of the, you know, top players for Canada, especially when you look at the last time he was on the international stage. You're talking about the 2020 Hlinka Gretzky tournament. He was just incredible. I think he had 3 goals and 11 points in 5 tournament games. So, you know, if he can have a performance anywhere near that come World Juniors, Canada is going to be, you know, we already know they're one of the teams to beat, but there'll be a very tough out. So long run, he's probably disappointed that he's not sticking around the NHL, but big picture, it's probably the best thing that happened for him.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of the young guys, that's usually the best, unless they're like playing a lot of minutes and, you know, guys like Lucas Raymond and stuff, you're not sending him away. We're going to move into another thing that's come out this week is the Capital City Challenge rosters, the under-17 tournament. Those rosters were released. Peter, you're probably plugged into that. What are the players that are kind of you're keeping an eye on in this tournament down the rosters there?
Yeah, just for context, it's the top U17 players all across Canada from like the WHL, QMJHL, and OHL taking on the women's national team. And that's going to be a really fun challenge to see the best of the best from the women's and the best of the best of the young players coming up. So this is going to be a really great tournament, really great challenge for everybody involved. But yeah, the rosters were released. I did take a gander at both Team Red, White, and Black. What stood out for me the most, obviously, like I'm looking at Team White as, you know, there are a couple of really great players on there. You got Luke Misa from the Mississauga Steelheads, undersized forward, but, you know, great goal scoring prowess, and Ethan Medina, who's going to be a top prospect in 2023. He's already off to a hot start. We've seen some of the moves that he's made with some of the clips online on social media. He's just a powerful force. Like he's already got an NHL size frame, and he's going to be a really great skillful power forward in the future. But for me, it's going to be Team Black. And this roster, I tweeted out yesterday when they were revealed, or on Friday when they were revealed. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what Zach Benson, Callum Ritchie, Nick Lardis, and Colby Barlow can do. And all three of those players have really high-end potential. I mean, talked about Callum Ritchie before and his goal-scoring abilities. Zach Benson's off to a really hot start as a rookie with the Winnipeg Ice and their dominance of, as being one of the top CHL teams in the league. So those are some names that I'm really keeping an eye on. Obviously, you know, there are other players throughout the list, but those are names that stand out for me and, you know, the big names to keep an eye on heading into this tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting tournament to see because it's something we don't usually see, right? And, you know, having women's hockey again being at the forefront, it's going to be fun. So we'll look forward to that for sure.
And especially the women's team coming off that, you know, World Hockey Championship win, where you got, you know, Marie-Philippe Poulin, Natalie Spooner, Sarah Filliet, Brianne Jenner. I mean, just a dominant team right then and there. So it's going to be fun throughout the board.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'd mentioned Lucas Raymond. Detroit Red Wings prospects are just all over the place right now. Moritz Seider scored his first NHL goal. He's got two now. He scored another one before. And of course, it was a great goal, an overtime winner. And, you know, what's more can you say about this guy? He's probably, I mean, Raymond and him are probably the two front runners in the Calder Trophy race right now. And why not? I mean, they're going to both be cornerstones of the Detroit Red Wings for years to come. And, you know, I'm not surprised that they're both dominating, and Seider is just, he's so skilled. I mean, his two-way game is probably most polished I've seen for a young defenseman in a long time. And we said about comparisons, it's, you know, you don't want to compare him to a lot of, you know, to players, but he's just good at everything, and he's dangerous. He's a great, you know, he's going to be a good matchup defenseman. You know, where they got him in the draft, it was surprising. We've said that before, but, you know, it's no surprise why he was drafted there the way he's developed. So, and he's just going to get better, which is just dangerous for the NHL in general. So, he's going to be great. So that's the news of the week, or the big news that we've talked about. The Calder Trophy race is still going on. We'll keep an eye on that. Raymond's still leading in points and all that. So we'll see how all that shakes out as it goes. But we'll move into our main topics here this episode. We're going to focus in on one place we haven't focused in on yet. Is the American, the U.S. hockey. We'll start with the college track, the NCAA, and start with the powerhouse, University of Michigan. I mean, we knew they were going to be a powerhouse. They've started out, of course, ridiculous. 10-2 start. I'm surprised they've lost two games, honestly, because, I mean, the way that their roster's a stack. And, you know, it's kind of hard to fathom that they have lost a game. But, I mean, stuff happens. Greg, we'll go to you on this one. Are they the team to beat? Top team in goals? Are they the powerhouse? Are they the ones that everyone's going to have to try to beat out for the championship here?
I think so, as long as they don't have another one-on-one matchup with COVID like they did last year, because we know who's going to win that one. That was one of the biggest disappointments last season, that Michigan had to miss the NCAA tournament because of COVID issues. But I mean, just look at that roster. I mean, it's basically your draft guide for the last two seasons. I mean, Matty Berniers, Thomas Bordalo, Brendan Brisson, Kent Johnson, Mackie Samuskevich, Owen Power, Luke Hughes. It's just unfair what they put together there. But yes, they're the team to beat. But the one thing to remember about that NCAA tournament, it's one and done. You know, you get to the Frozen Four, you get a bad puck off of skate, crazy bounce, hot goaltender, it's not a best of seven game series. It's a one and done. So that's why I love the NCAA tournament, because so many crazy things can happen. Everybody's going to pick Michigan. Everybody's going to think they're the team to beat. And then some tiny school from Minnesota is going to get a crazy own goal and win the game in overtime. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But listen, if they don't win the NCAA title, that is going to be a big upset. But that's what happens. That's why they play the games. The tournament isn't played on paper. Otherwise, you'd give them the title right now. But they're definitely going to be fun to watch because I think their team is good enough right now. They could probably beat a few teams in the AHL right now.
Yeah, you just run off the first round picks that they've got, and they're not just low first round picks; these are high first round picks. So, I mean, yeah, they're definitely team beat. Move to impressive players. We'll go to you. We'll go to Peter on this one first. One player you've been impressed with on the team so far. Just a quick hit. Who have you been impressed with?
Yeah. I mean, I could go with one of the top three, you know, Johnson, Powers, Beniers, but I'm going to go with Brendan Breeson. Looking very sharp early on, just above a point per game, 13, 8 goals, second in team to only Matty Beniers. Which is weird because, you know, we've always thought Matty Beniers is a smart two-way playmaking center, but Brendan Breeson, he's just caught my eye early on. I mean, he's always in motion. He's such a fantastic skater, very elusive, knows where to pick his lanes, always gets it open ice very well. And he could set them up. He could have very little space and he can still make it tight or a really nice play. He's got quick hands. He can distribute it off. He can shoot the puck, as I just mentioned, with his goal scoring early on. So he's one name that, you know, we've also included him in our top 100 prospects, but I think he's a player that actually moves up on that list and overall in terms of impact and progression that he's made so far. So my pick is Brendan Breeson.
Yeah, he's been impressive. Greg, who you got that you've been impressed with in this powerhouse of players?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to pick one guy that stands out on a team full of just ridiculous talent, but I'll take the easy route. I'm going to go Owen Power. I mean, he's the number one overall pick and there's a lot of pressure on the kid and it just doesn't seem to affect him at all. He's showing you why he was the number one pick. He's showing you why the Sabres are happy to have him in the organization. He's off to a great start this season. He's got 3 goals and 15 assists. So he's facilitating that offense. That's part of the reason he was drafted first overall. And he's doing that 18 points in 12 games. He's second only to Kent Johnson in assists and points. So he's showing the complete package. He's showing you exactly why he was the top pick this past summer and why the Sabres are so high on him. And I think going back to school this year was the right choice for him. He's really getting to, be that dominant player and play all the top minutes and all the right situations. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm not being, you know, from Illinois, we're not big Michigan fans in any sport down here, but it's kind of hard not to like this team. So many good kids on this team and fun to watch. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. He's been a powerhouse, no pun intended. So I mean,
come on, you totally meant that pun.
I did say yes. Yes, I did. I'm gonna go with a guy that's under the radar. He's not a first round pick, he's a sixth round pick. Vancouver Canucks prospect, Jacob Truscott. Goal and 6 assists. He's a plus 14. I mean, he's playing with Luke Hughes. But he is a talented defenseman. I mean, sixth round pick, he was drafted really low, but he's a good mobile defenseman. He's good defensively. He's been good defensively. That plus 14 may be a little bit inflated because he does play with Luke Hughes. He does play with a lot of these top players, but you know, that stat is still something you look at, and having a plus 14 is better than being in the minus. And he's second on the team in plus minus, which is pretty good. So I'm going with Jake Truscott there. Because, I mean, Canucks prospect and a guy that's been kind of just flying under the radar as being a guy that's, you know, putting up some pretty good points too, getting those assists and the plus minus is really good. So I'm going with Truscott. We talked about some teams that could challenge Michigan. Well, Michigan's the powerhouse. Michigan's the one that's going to be one to beat. But looking at Harvard, they're another team that has some high-end talent on him. Matthew Coronado's on that team. Ambrosesi, you know, guys like that. Peter, Harvard, what do you think about that team? Do you think they're a team that could challenge Michigan in the future here?
Yeah, there are a lot of teams that could challenge Michigan, but you know, I'm still going back to Harvard mainly because of the fact of the names that they do have. I mean, you just mentioned Eberseze, Coronado. They also have Henry Thrun, who's looking pretty good, the fourth overall pick in 2019 from the Anaheim Ducks. But more importantly, Sean Farrell, Montreal's fourth rounder in 2020. This is a player who was very undersized. I believe had a really strong season last year in the USHL before making the jump to the college level. And he just absolutely dominated that league with 101 points, 72 assists in 53 games last season with the Chicago Seals. So you're already seeing him and his stats right now already jump right off the page. 5 goals, 6 assists. So he's got a bit more of that goal scoring ability to his game right now, being a major factor for a freshman right now. And he's leading the team in points, 1.83 per game. So yeah, if there's one team that's going to challenge Michigan, don't sleep on Harvard. I mean, there are a lot of teams too, like there's Denver, there's Minnesota. But based on the depth that they have right now early on, and also players like John Farinacci, Ian Moore, John Fusco, they got solid depth throughout their lineup. So I think they're pretty set up right now. But for me, it's going to be on the shoulders of Sean Farrell to lead the way because he's been dominant so far to start the season.
Yeah, like you said, there's going to be a lot of teams that could. And like Greg said before, once it gets in that tournament, it's it's a one and done. You never know. You know, those types of games are just unknowns when you get into it. So we'll see what happens there. Go to another guy. Another team that could potentially be there is North Dakota. And we're going to focus in on Jake Sanderson. Ottawa Senators prospect. He was a high-end prospect for in that draft, 5th overall in 2020. He's dominating for the team now. 5 goals, 12 points in 10 games. And last season, he only had 2 goals and 15 points in 22 games. So he's well on pace to shatter those totals. He's already got more goals than last year. And he was drafted 5th overall with that performance. So, I mean, he's improving. And the Senators looks like they've got a top defenseman there and a, you know, top end first pairing guy. You know, I think he's improved a lot from last year, looking at not just the point totals, but being more dominant offensively, being better defensively, that two-way defenseman that the Senators are going to want to have leading their defense. Thomas Chabot is in there right now as being that top defenseman, and he'll be there for a long time. But Sanderson coming in could, you know, really solidify that defense as a building blocks moving forward. So Sanderson's going to be a huge piece for the Ottawa. And he started out this season ridiculous. And that's just a testament to why he was set to be that high-end first, you know, that top defenseman in that draft. And there were so many defensemen in that draft that were really good. So Sanderson's just proving why he was there in the first place. So you guys anything to add for Sanderson or
initially I was still surprised that, you know, he was the first defenseman taking over Jamie Drysdale, but you know, I mean, both are, you know, really quality defensemen. And as Sanderson's two-way game, I think complements the Senators more than the high flying offense of Jamie Drysdale. Obviously he's fitting in well with the Ducks, but I think Ottawa wanted that two-way game more specifically. But yeah, you mentioned it all. He's also a really great start and his improved play is a big reason for that. So I think he's progressing very nice.
Yeah. Now we'll move into another league. That's, you know, the one that usually a lot of players play for before they enter the NCAA is the USHL. Their last season, we saw it at Chicago Steel, they're already a factory for NHL talent and, very good NHL talent. So that league has become a really big hotbed. We'll talk about them for a bit here. Starting with Jackson Blake, 109th overall pick by the Carolina Hurricanes in 2021. He's dominating, leading the league in scoring right now for the Chicago Steel. Greg, we'll go to you on this one. You're expert in all things Chicago there. What have you thought about Jackson Blake? What makes him so lethal?
Well, I mean, the Steel have been, even though they say Chicago in their team name, it's a little bit of a hike to get out there from the actual city, but I'm looking forward to getting out there a couple times this season, checking them out. Jackson Blake is another guy that, another Chicago Steel player dominating and another super talented Carolina Hurricanes prospect, checks two boxes that we talk about a lot on this show. He's got the NHL pedigree. His dad, Jason, was a longtime NHL player. So, you know, he's got the hockey DNA. I think what makes him such a special player is, you know, a lot of these guys can make great plays in open ice, but he is actually more effective when he's being, you know, when he's in tight, when he's being covered. I think he's actually better in tight than he is in open spaces, which is a rare talent. You know, he's so good at getting the puck through traffic, finding his teammates in open space, setting them up. You know, he's more of a facilitator than a scorer, but he could do both. You know, he leads the league with 22 points, 15 of those are assists. So he's definitely helping out his linemates there. But, you know, he, as I said, when you try and smother him defensively, he always finds a way to get the puck out into his teammate. And that's what just makes him so deadly, is that you think you got him covered, you think you're playing him well defensively, and all of a sudden, you know, he's got three assists in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and you look at his totals. I mean, 7 goals, 22 points, 16 games. Last season, he only had 7 goals, 17 in 25. So, I mean, he's already got the same amount of goals in 16 games. So, I mean, he's just going to shatter that pretty soon here. So
he didn't play quite as high up in that team last year. Right. That team last year was just dumb. Oh, I mean, considering you had Coronado and Farrell and Josh Doan on that team and Samuskev, I mean, the list goes on and on. So, you know, when you got a guy like Jackson Blake on your third and fourth line, you've got a pretty darn good team, and they did last year.
Yeah, no, that's right. Moving to another guy here, Adam Fantilli. This guy's not supposed to be drafted till 2023, and he's playing ridiculous. The 10 goals, 20 points in 16 games. Peter, we'll go to you on this guy. 17 years old and 2023 draft, and he's a high-end player for the Steel. What do you think of his game so far?
Yeah, similar to Jackson Blake and his point totals already being, you know, smashing those numbers, but he's already closing in on the 36 that he had last season, already with 10 goals, 10 assists early on this season. And yeah, a lot of the talk is on, you know, Connor Bedard and Matvei Michkov, rightfully so. But Adam Fantilli basically makes this that top of the draft class a three-headed monster. And you could expect him to be most likely the third overall pick. It's going to come down to Michkov, Bedard for 1 and 2. But this is another elite level talent, the high end of athleticism. He can shoot, he can pass. He's just an overall offensive dynamo. Everything that he excels in the offensive zone, you're just mesmerized by what he can do. And even going back to the GTHL days when he was with the Toronto Red Wings and had that team going up against the powerhouse Don Mills Flyers with Shane Wright, Brendan Othman, and Brandon Clark. Obviously, you took note of Fantilli being a major factor for that team and reason why they got to that final in the OHL Cup. He already has the frame, the skill set, the mindset. It just screams NHL talent already, and he's 17 years old. So I've been really impressed with him, and obviously taking major strides from his first season in the USHL, and it's only going to get better for him. So the fact that, you know, all the talk is on the top two, Bedard and Michkov, don't count out Fantilli, because he's generating a lot of buzz, and rightfully so, because he is a really dynamic offensive talent.
Yeah, that 2023 draft is to me insane. I mean, you know, we're looking forward to the 2022 one, but that 2023 one, oh my
God. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's going to be so much talent that's going to fly out of that draft that you can be in the 20s and get a solid guy. You know, but we'll talk a lot more about that draft, I'm sure.
Next year.
2022. We still got 2022 to go. So yeah. Let's talk about that. Any other guys, Greg, we'll go to you on this. Any other guys that you're looking at draft eligible in the USHL that you're looking at for this coming draft?
Well, USHL has become a real big, you know, prospect factory the last couple of years, especially last year. That may have had more to do with the fact that, you know, they were one of the only leagues that got to play pretty much a full season. But they're definitely turning the tide as far as draft prospects go. And there's, so there's going to be a lot of guys that come out of that league. One of the guys, another one of those programs, I know we talk about the Chicago Steel a lot here, and rightfully so, but another team that's had a long tradition of producing really good players, our neighbors to the north here, the Green Bay Gamblers. And again, being from Chicago, saying anything nice about Green Bay is really hard to do, but I'm going to swallow my pride and do it right here. They got a guy, appropriately, Ryan Green, with Green Bay. I like his game a lot. He's such a good skater. He's got 6 assists in 11 games so far. He hasn't had any goals yet, but you know, when I'm looking at a young player through my scouting eyes, the first thing I look at is the feet, and I work my way up. And if you're a good skater at that age, the doors are going to open for you a lot faster. And he is just a tremendous skater. He's also got very good hands. He's a very smart player. His shot, even though he doesn't have any goals yet, but he's still got a very quick release on his shot, and he plays super smart defensively. He's a center. He's already 6'2". He's 174 pounds. Obviously, he's going to fill out a bit as we go on, but I really like him. He's a B prospect in the early central scouting rankings, but I think he's going to be one of those, you know, mid-round picks, third, fourth round pick, maybe can sneak into the second round, but one of those mid-rounders that kind of sneaks through, and all of a sudden one day you're going, well, how come my team didn't draft this guy? So good skater, and that's always has me excited about young players.
Yeah, skating's massive in the NHL. If you can't skate, you're probably not going to make it. You're not going to get to a point where you're going to be able to be a regular NHL player. So, Peter, who you got in the USHL that you're looking at for the upcoming draft here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ryan Green is one name that's standing out amongst leading that USHL group. But I think Cole Knubel is definitely a name to keep an eye on. Obviously, we know NHL lineage with his father, Mike. And, you know, just his character and the way he composes himself, the way he thinks the game, I think is really something that's going to stand out to or be a main sticking point for a lot of scouts. I see him early on as maybe a third, maybe fourth round pick. Obviously, you know, he can jump up. It's early on in the season, still a lot of hockey left to play, but 9 points in 12 games, good production so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else he can do, because he's really caught my eye early on.
Yeah, this is early on. We're going to see a lot more once the World Juniors go as well. We're going to see a lot of these, maybe not him specifically, but, you know, in general, there's just a lot of hockey still to be played. So a lot of stuff to change. I'm going to go with the guy that was eligible last year. He's back in the draft this year. It's Jacob Gwevin, or Gevin, however you say his last name, probably. You know, he's a great playmaking right shot defenseman, wasn't drafted. Probably because, I mean, that size factor, a little undersized, that the physical part of it, but he still had 45 points in 53 games last season. Started out really well, 14 and 12 so far for the Muskegon Lumberjacks there. So he's committed to going to Nebraska Omaha in 2022-23. So he'll be in the NCAA next year. But, I mean, he's eligible for this draft. If he can continue this point production and, you know, maybe he can sneak into that later rounds, because like I said, last draft was really weird. I mean, there were guys that maybe should have been drafted that weren't. So he's a guy that could maybe get drafted this year if he can keep up this production, because he started out the season off really well again. So we'll see with that, because like I said, great playmaker, right shot defensemen are very usually guys that teams are looking at because they're just so hard to come by. So we'll keep an eye on him as well. So that's the USHL. We've hit the midway point of the show. This is the Prospect Corner presented by the Hockey Raiders and developed by us as well. If you enjoy the show, make sure you're hitting that like button, hit subscribe, to make sure you're not missing on any of the shows on our channel here. We've got a great shows, the Grind Line, Chicks and Sticks, Union Junction, Blackhawks Banters. I mean, there's a lot of shows that are on the network right now. Make sure you're signed up for our morning skate newsletter. Lots of great content every morning that gets in your inbox. So to keep you up to date, so morningskate.io for that. Make sure you're on Discord. We're also there. We're gonna, you know, there's a lot of teams that have some great conversations going on in Discord. And finally, we got the daily download as well. That have bought a bunch of teams going through that every morning, recap links, social media updates, all that in one stop shop for a lot of the NHL teams that we have right now. So just check out hockeywriters.com as well. There's a lot of content there as we move through the season. So bills are paid and we'll keep going because I'm the producer of the show. So we'll keep going here. we're still on the air. So there we go. Now we'll go into a big talk. We've talked about USA. Let's talk about Team USA. You know, the USA National Development Team is also another program that brings a lot of talent into the USHL, into the NCAA. There's a ton of talent there. A lot of talent is coming into this draft as well. So U.S. national team, Team USA, World Juniors coming up as well. Greg, is this the most talented team we've seen to date? There's a lot of high-end names that are going to dominate this draft board. There's a lot of names that were last year. Is this going to be the most talented? And will they probably, I mean, they have a huge chance of winning gold here.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say most talented, depending on, you know, what you're looking for. But they're definitely one of the deepest teams the development program has put together. And we'll see a lot of these guys come World Junior, as you mentioned, and they're going to be one of the teams to beat. One of the things that I like about the development team this year, besides all the skill they have, and we're going to see a lot of these guys go in the first and second round come this draft. They also got some good size. It's kind of a running joke, especially here in Chicago with our draft history, is that the U.S. development team just loves to produce those undersized guys, you know, your 5'10", 5'11 guys. And they still have quite a few of those. But when you look at this roster this year, they've got a lot of guys over 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". That's a little different from what we're used to. So they got some size. They got some skill. Definitely one of the deepest teams they've put together in quite a while. And it will be very fun to see which guys in this group, you know, end up playing in the big tournament coming up here next month. And I can't wait to see what they look like going against some of those other powerhouses like Canada and Russia and Sweden. It's going to be a really good tournament this year. I'm getting, I used to love Christmas Day because, you know, presents and all that stuff. Now it's like, you know, can the family come over after the World Juniors? Because, you know, it always starts Christmas Day, and it's Christmas for guys like us for sure. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Just a quick thing. We're going to have a lot of coverage on USA, Canada, all the teams. So keep an eye out for a lot of those articles. A lot of that coverage will be coming out really soon with those. So let's move into a particular player we'll focus on here is Frank Nizar. He's got a lot of attention in the past. Peter, why should we keep an eye on him or stay our eyes on him?
When I was doing my early top 32 rankings, obviously, you know, I really like Logan Cooley. Rucker McGroarty's got like a powerhouse, power forward type frame. Isaac Howard's got great offensive abilities. But Frank Nizar has like, I saw one video and I think it was nicknamed the human highlight reel. And some of the moves that this kid was pulling off at that young of an age was just absolutely insane. And we're still seeing that creativity, that fast paced, quick movements with his hands and his vision, his awareness. It's already on display right now. And we're, again, like we mentioned, still a lot of time left in the draft year, but he's making a very strong impact and is a player that I think can improve his draft stock with his creativity and just his high-end skill set. Obviously not the biggest forward. I believe he only comes in at 5'10", 174, but he's, the way that I see it, he plays a bigger game than the size, you know, initially sit or that it's shown right now. A lot of rankings already have him as like, you know, a 20, he's actually kind of ranked all over the place, anywhere between 14th all the way down to 21st to 27th. I think he's going to be a really solid top 15 pick, maybe, you know, in that 10 to 15 range. That's where I'm probably seeing him right now. As soon as my next rankings come out, he's going to jump right up. And I think he's going to be in that spot and maybe even push for the top 10 because he's just as talented and dynamic and a game-changing player just as much as someone like Logan Cooley, who's already a top 10 prospect already. So keep an eye on him because if you want a high-risk, you know, high reward player with great creativity, Frank Nagsar is your guy.
Yeah, and like I said, he's just one of many.
Yeah,
this draft that's going to be we're going to be keeping an eye on, because there's a lot of high end offensive talent in this from the U.S. national development team. Like in previous years, we've seen in the past as well. So they feed a lot of their players into the USHL, like we talked about before. So as well. So now let's talk about some other guys. We know the big guys, like we mentioned Cooley, Nazar, Howard, McGordy, Casey. Is there a name that's going to fly under the radar? Greg, we'll start with you on this one. Is there anyone that you're looking at that's not a high-end, that everyone knows name?
Yeah, I like what I've seen so far out of Jimmy Snuggerud. That's a name, if you follow Minnesota hockey, if we've got any fans up in Minnesota, that's a name that you know up there. That's a big-time hockey family. Up in that area, his father Dave played in the NHL for a few years with Buffalo and a couple other teams. His cousin Luke was a defenseman, was a draft pick of the Blackhawks, had some concussion problems, and is now still playing professionally in Europe. But you know, he's a big kid, 6'2", 185 pounds already at just 17 years old. So he's got that size already. He's got 6 goals and 20 points in 22 combined games between you know, the national team and the USHL. So he's off to a really good start. You know, I think this one of those guys, again, third, fourth, fifth round, he's got the pedigree, you know, he's got the name familiarity with scouts. So he's not going to be the star. He's not going to grab all the headlines, all those names we just mentioned, but he's going to be one of those guys that quietly and efficiently just performs on a night in, night out basis. So he's one of the guys I'm keeping my eyes open on.
Yeah, like I said, there's always guys that are going to be those guys you're going to draft and not going to be that high and create, you know, big guy, but you need these guys on the team as well. So Peter, who you have tagged as a under the radar pick?
I've really liked the play of Ryan Chesley, and I already, again, tremendous size already and mobility, 6 feet, 194 pounds, smart two-way defender. Early on in the clips that I've seen, this is a guy who's like really prides himself on a transitional game. You know, not to draw comparisons, but based on what I've seen early on with like Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren with the Maple Leafs, those guys are very strong transitional players. He can move the puck up quickly, but he's not afraid to jump up and not necessarily pinch, but to attack in a forward, break a play up, and then have the play go in the opposite direction. So he's got very great smarts, knows when to jump in, knows when to back off, but his ability to be aggressive and be a really great transitional force is a reason why I'm high on him to be the next defenseman taken, possibly behind Seamus Casey, because the production isn't there, unlike Casey, who's more offensive driven, but just the overall smarts. And for me, if you're a team looking to build off and want that two-way defenseman, I really think Ryan Chesley is going to be your guy, because he's got a very well-rounded game and a lot of promise for the future.
Yeah, it's good I picked two names, because you just took Chesley, but I'm going Lane Hutson, another defenseman, very smaller guy, 5'8", dynamic though. I mean, this guy is rated supposed to be towards the end of the first round this year. He's got 13 points in 17 games for the under-18 team. He had 5 assists in the 2021 under-18s, and he actually was a guy that a lot of people saw, you know, in that tournament, and actually he stood out. So, like I say, he's a smaller defenseman, but that size, you know, that size doesn't seem to matter as much when you have that type of high-end skill and high-end hockey IQ and the skating that he's got. So keep an eye on him. I don't know if he's under the radar. We have talked about him in the past, but I think of all the other defensemen that are in, I think he is one of those guys that, you know, could fly under as being, you know, may drop into the second round. We'll see. That's Hutson for me. So that's the U.S. Side of things. But I mean, to start, we'll talk a lot more about these guys in the future for sure. So we'll just end the show with, as we always do, prospects of the week. Peter, start with you. Who's your prospect of the week that everyone should be looking at right now?
I was going to go Shane Wright, but because, you know, his production is starting to, you know, it's where we expected it to be at this point, but I'm going to change my direction. Matt, you've gone with the Vancouver Canucks a couple of times, so I'm going to go the Maple Leafs routing, and I'm going to pick Ryan Tverberg from the University of Connecticut. You know, seventh round pick in 2020, 213th overall, and already with 14 points in 10 games. And it's kind of fitting that today was the, you know, NCAA USHL episode, because he's one of the top point producers in that at that level right now. And just his skill set is undeniably, you know, catching everybody right now. Very underrated prospect in the system, plays with a bit of an edge, always aggressive despite the size. I mean, in the past, obviously he was a little bit smaller, but already 6 feet, 190 right now, already improved in the strength department and getting bigger, getting stronger. But his ability to, you know, make crucial plays and very high end plays in tight in very like high traffic areas. He's got quick hands. He's able to hang onto the puck for that extra second, but doesn't wait too long in order to get the shot off. He knows how long to wait and when to get it off. So I've been really impressed with the way that he's played so far. And maybe this is, could be one of those late round picks that could benefit, you know, a team like the Maple Leafs, who's had some success in the past, you know, with Andreas Janssen, Pierre Engvall right now. Let's hope that I'm hoping that Ryan Tverberg can be follow that same line right now.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with him. Greg, who's your prospect of the week for this week?
Excuse me, I was going to take Sean Farrell, but Peter kind of covered him already. So yeah, I've been a big fan of that kid for a couple of years, haven't seen him a few times here. But I'm going to stick in the USHL since we're focusing on my side of the border this week. I'm going to go with Stephen Holiday. Now, he hasn't been drafted by an NHL team yet, but he's currently second in USHL in scoring with 21 points. He's been on fire lately. His last six games, he's got 7 goals and 14 points for the Dubuque Fighting Saints. He's one of those guys that I don't know what his future is going to be, but he's 6'4" and over 200 pounds already at 19 years old, 234 pounds. He hasn't been drafted, but that may change. He's going to play at Ohio State University next year. This is one of those guys that could be one of those late bloomers. You know, this is his third USHL season. Hasn't really put up great numbers. You know, his first two seasons, he's got 23 goals, 86 points in 98 games. And now all of a sudden he's got 9 goals, 21 points in his first 13 games this season. So this may be one of those guys that, you know, late bloomer, maybe finally getting his chance to play up in the top of the lineup. See what he does going to Ohio State next year. Maybe he's a guy that shows up, becomes a late round draft pick. But you got to think, a guy at that size, at that age, that can score, someone's going to give him a look down the way. So I'm just going to give him a shout out because he's been on fire in the USHL the last few couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm sticking down here too, NCAA. Matthew Coronato, my guy, who's I talked a lot. I mean, if you watched our draft shows last season, I was on the Coronato train pretty much right from the beginning. So drafted by the Calgary Flames, unfortunately, but at 13th overall, just a little below where I had him. I tied him around the 10 for almost all season last year. So he's proven me right. So far, 3 goals, 8 points in 6 games for Harvard. Been blanked in the last couple games, but still, I mean, he started off the season on fire. 2 games, he had those points in. So he looks like he's acclimating to the NCAA game pretty well. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. I mean, it's only 6 games. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with him, but he's showing already. We know we dominated in the Chicago Steel, and he's a high-end goal scorer. He's probably going to be a star in the NHL, and he's showing it early on that the NCAA isn't a challenge for him so far. So Coronado, proving me right again, which is great. So my namesake there. There's our three prospects of the week. Keep an eye on those three guys as the season goes on, because they're probably going to be popping up a lot more as the season goes too. So that's another show. This has been the Prospect Corner, presented by the Hockey Writers. Of course, enjoy the show. Make sure you're hitting that subscribe button and the like button on YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff. Start hitting that notification bell so you're not missing out on anything. Subscribe to our morning skate newsletter. As I said before, a lot of great content coming in every morning. Hockeyriders.com, lots of content in there, and from all three of us as the season goes on. World Juniors coming up, lots of content that's coming up too, because we're going to cover all the rosters, previews, takeaways from the games. There's just going to be wall-to-wall coverage as we do every season. It's just going to keep coming at you. So for Greg and Peter, this is Matthew. We'll see you next time in the Prospect Corner. Thanks, guys.